If I die young, bury me in satin, lay me down on a bed of roses, sink me in the river at dawn, send me away with the words of a love song. Uh-oh, uh-oh. Lord, make me a rainbow, I'll shine down on my mother, she'll know I'm safe with you when she stands under my colors, oh. You think it ought to be, you know, ain't even gray, but she buries her baby, the sharp knife of a short life. Well, I've had just enough time. If I die young, bury me in satin, lay me down on a bed of roses, sink me in the river at dawn.
Hey man, what happened to your eyes?
Fight a couple of years back.
Guess I don't have to ask who won.
You know, I was enjoying the peace and quiet in here when you checked in. So why don't you just shut the fuck up, huh?
You know, Gramps, it's a good thing we're both locked up right now. Because if we were out on the streets, I would roll up on you and take your ass out.
Let me tell you something, you hefty bag of street trash. I'd rip out your intestines and strangle you with them before you had a chance to roll up on me.
Please, I wish you would try.
I've known 100 punk-ass shitheads like you. You're a fucking dime a dozen.
You don't know anything about me, man.
Let me take a stab at this. You spend your life committing petty crimes, like robbing old ladies of their purses, breaking into homes when nobody's around, doing a little carjacking here and there. Or when you're really, really feeling ambitious, you try to rob a convenience store with a toy gun. You spend so much time trying to act tough and gain street cred when all you really need is a good ass kicking. So now, will you kindly shut the fuck up?
You're wrong.
What?
You're wrong. I didn't get locked up for any of that shit tonight. I wish I did, then I wouldn't be so pissed off for being in here. I got pulled over for speeding. I had a few unpaid tickets, so I ran. Fuck you, man, it's not that funny. I've done hard time before.
You think that's something to be proud of? Well, let me tell you something, shit-stain. It's more impressive if you don't get caught in the first place.
Looks like you should have taken your own advice. And what'd you do to get in here anyway?
Killing bears out of season.
Oh, so you're a poacher? No shit. You must get paid a lot of money for something like that.
Not so much yet, but my big payload's waiting for me in my truck.
What is it?
Oh, it's a truckload of none of your fucking business.
You know, Grandpa, you should really be nicer to me. When I break out of here, I just might have to leave you behind.
How do you suppose you're gonna do that, Mr. Capone?
None of your fucking business.
All right, kid. I got a proposition for you.
I'm listening.
You get us out of here, and I'll give you a percentage of what my cargo's worth. I got a buyer on the way as we speak.
I'll think about it.
E ora veramente credo che non mi resti altro da dire se non time to say goodbye.
From the south coast of the Golden State, it's Long Beach's most popular talk show with Alex Exum. And now, your host, Alex Exum.
I hold in my hot little hands, and it is hot. It's hot and sunny. Comfortably sunny. 75 degrees in the Exum Experience Studios. Which, by the way, is a state-of-the-art facility. Also known as a one-room flop house on the east side of the city. Yeah. I hold in my hands two books. Two important books. One of them called The Life Beyond Death by our good friend William Walker Atkinson. A 1919 book in the public domain about the afterlife that changed my life that I printed under my own publishing house. And additionally, I'm holding a copy of Beyond the Veil, A Journey into the Afterlife by yours truly, a physical copy. The ebook is available on Amazon. The hard copy is available on Amazon and at alexexum.com. The books are out. The gloves are off. When's the last time you contemplated your death? Because I got news for you, bub. You're gonna drop dead. Eventually. Not now, not today. Eventually. Well, maybe today. Could be today. I don't know who you are. Maybe today's your day. Wouldn't that be wonderful to go out hearing this show? As you're dropping dead, the lights start to dim and you hear me screeching and screaming at you to contemplate the afterlife. Hey, maybe it's the wake-up call you need. You know, it's funny. When writing the book, you know, I hate to, you know, it's funny. I like to call them manuals. If you've read anything I've written, I like quick, short, to the point. I consider this a manual of the afterlife because, let's be honest, who in the hell has got time to contemplate this when the angel of death is flapping around your bed? You're making funeral arrangements. Maybe you just want to do one last thing. Eat that last steak. Look, you could have 24 hours to live, 24 days, 24 months. Sometimes they'll tell you it's 24 months and it's 24 hours and you had no idea. Boom, drop dead, brain hemorrhages, bleeding all over the floor. Your body's got to come and pick up the body. I don't mean to make light of that. I know that actually has happened to someone I know. This is not going to be a dark show, by the way. I'm very excited because the books arrived super whiplash fast. This is why Amazon rules the world. They said they were going to get this to me. This is my print on demand, right? Well, that's not print on demand. It's on Amazon, but I can buy a author's copy, which is not as much, you know, you can price it whatever you want, but I can't even, like, even if I priced it extremely low, I don't know how I could get it to anyone unless you're the author. They give you a deal, right? Because they hope you'll pump them out there. You need copies. You need promotional copies. So they give you a cut, or a better deal, rather. I still had to pay for them. But there's a reason I have printed books. I mean, I should. You know, this is the problem with the digital world. You should probably have hard copies of your own book, because God knows what can happen. EMP strike with Russia. I don't know. The grid goes down. And you're like, well, where's my book? Well, it's nice to have a hard copy. So I got to print out copies, and there's an amazing event that's happening this weekend. It is folks, my life is sometimes a tragedy, sometimes a comedy, and sometimes an epic, and things just fall into place. As you know, I'm with the new, well, not new, they're not new, but I'm new to the station. So about a year. K-Chung Radio, downtown LA at Mocha. You know, I love the gig. I'm there once a month. I love it. If you're following me on Instagram, you probably see me post their stuff. At any rate, at the Geffen Contemporary Art at Mocha, this weekend is the LA Art Book Fair. Now, listen to this. A lot of you know me only as a talk show host. I've been writing and directing and producing theater and stories since I was a kid. I've always been an artist. A lot of people don't know this stuff, but even in grade school, junior high, high school, of course, but I was always drawing, okay? I draw my notebook. I take other people's notebooks and just start drawing on them and hand them back like a little caricature of themselves or something, whatever it was. And after being in the corporate world for 16 hellish years and having my head down in the corporate world, I finally, during the whole COVID thing, and we all spent time at home and all picked up hobbies again, I think, I started dabbling in just art, and not just going and trying to do get canvases and paint and draw and stuff like that, but digital art. And then AI art exploded. Now we have AI ChatGPT, AI writing, everything. We have AI everything now. But in the beginning, which is only a few years ago, I guess, I was dabbling with it. I've fully embraced AI art. I've fully embraced writing, and I'm not directing anything now. I've got the directing bug, but I get to do that every year with my Halloween show. So I guess that is directing in a way. But I want to kind of get behind the camera. The point is, I don't know why I'm telling you all this. It's a roundabout way. I have many hobbies besides this whole talk show thing. And I was an actor, some of you know. I played at the top of the show. This is all coming full circle now. A movie I was in. And the gentleman you heard who's got that fantastic voice, his name is Kevin Shea, he died. And I didn't know about it. And last year for the Frankenstein Halloween show, which you've now heard, actors were great. I think everyone who got the part was perfect for the part, and I wouldn't change it now for the world. But originally, I had Kevin Shea in mind for a part. Now, I haven't talked to this guy in ages. I don't do social media anymore, so I couldn't find him on – I didn't care about Facebook and all that. But I knew I had his number in an old phone, like in the archives, and his email address somewhere. So I thought, hey – I didn't know if he was, but you know, I'm thinking he's a pretty tech savvy guy. He had a very good website at the time for an older gentleman. He was older than me. You've seen him in the movie if you've seen it. He's just an older guy, but I said he's kind of tech savvy. He had a really nice website, and I said he might have a microphone. This guy could be doing podcasting or, you know, YouTube videos or something. I couldn't find him anywhere, and so I said, well, I'll just send an email. Went down a black hole, and I'm wondering, like, what? I'm like, huh. Let me just go to his website. I couldn't find his website on the initial search, but I knew he had a website, at least at the time. This is going back a ways, right? When we did a movie together, so it's a long time ago. But anyway, I go and search him. I find his obituary. Yep, I didn't even know he died. Now, of course, nobody told me. Why would they? I guess. I mean, I'm not family. But I considered him a homie. He was one of the, not few, he was one of the actors that I really, not few, there were several. But one of the actors I really respected. I really liked the guy. I'd acted with him in several other things. Another film, another short film that we did that was wacky. And he kept asking me what the hell was going on the whole time. And I said, hey, man, you just got to go with the script. That's another whole story. But anyway, getting back to this, I didn't know he died. And he was we had a great scene together. I played it. And I just loved working with the guy. And I wish I would have thought of him so he could have been in. How many Halloween shows have I done now? 6. And then I did the Iguana Gang. We have 7. We've done a lot. And I said, I wish I would have thought of this sooner. Now, who knows? I may not have had a part. And I would have gotten to him too late anyway. He'd been dead for at least a year and a half when I found out last year. The point is, you never know when you're going to drop dead. I hate to break it to you. But you're going to die. Yes, you. Nobody gets out of this thing alive. Nobody gets out alive. You're not getting out alive. You're going to die. I don't want you to die, but you're going to die. That being said, I want to make sure that you're prepared for the afterlife. And one of the reasons I wrote this book, maybe to the chagrin of some of my family, I sent this out, I was kind of proud of the cover. The cover looks cool. I'm sorry. I wouldn't be sending out, but I'll put it on Instagram in a moment. I didn't have time. If you saw my desk right now, which I'm not going to take a picture because there's some things I would not want anyone to see. Nothing illegal, but just, embarrassing. I don't know. It's just kind of dirty. But my desk looks like a bomb hit it. And if you know me, I can't work with a desk like this. I'm not one of those. I'm not like some guy who like a Columbo who got papers all over the place. Columbo. Why did I say Columbo? I don't think I've ever seen Columbo's desk. You get the point. It looks like a rat's nest. And the only thing that's keeping me sane is I got the books. And as soon as this show's over, I am cleaning this desk. It is driving me. I can't find anything. I mean, I've got supplements here. I've got a knife. What is the point of a knife on the desk? Don't know. Tape measure. I'm not kidding. Like, lighter, books, pens. I'm not kidding. This is disgusting because I hate eating at my desk where I work. This is why I don't want to take a picture. A camping plate. If you know what a camping plate is, you know the blue camping plates. I want to say Brady Bunch camping. I don't know why, because I think I remember an episode or Little House in the Prairie, let's say. It's a blue speckled plate. It's blue with specks of white. Does anybody care? The point is, I have one of those where it looks like I should be camping. And then there's a macaroni and cheese from Marie Callender's with a fork in it. And I have 10 CDs that I'm trying to burn. I have, what is this? Horny goat weed. Don't ask. We have coins, silver coins, batteries for Swatch watches, 2 of them floating around for no reason. I have multiple papers. Most of these are bills. I have a mustache comb and mustache wax right here. A silver ring, signet ring. Thing's expensive. I can't lose that. A top of some sort. I don't remember what it goes to. A hard drive. A square registered mobile card reader without the reader. What's the point of that? And a smorgasbord of other things. We should just call this Alex's haberdashery. This is ridiculous. How does anyone get anything done like this? Let's see. An AM/FM radio, stapler. Business cards? You think I'm kidding? I could go on. This is disgusting. I can't do it. I can't work like this, man. Where is the maid? Or butler. Be careful. Maid. Some woman's out there going to go, maid? Maid, you male servant. Butler, honey. You bimbo. Why? Why does my desk look like this? If you saw it, it is just... But the good news is we have books. So I have books on the afterlife. If this were the last day of my life, I would be very, very disappointed in the appearance of my desk. They'd come in, find my body, probably days later. Not even when people couldn't get a hold of me. It's when the bills don't get paid and the stench is too much for people to take anymore. Then they call in a welfare check. Find the rotting corpse on the floor. The stench is so bad because you're not even a corpse at that point. You're almost a puddle of goo. And the damn dog ate half your body. They don't carry out, they scoop you out. Where did that come from? Dark. Ooh, dark, that went dark. Well, speaking of dark, I've got something very delicious. Sorry, that got weird. It's just this obsession of contemplating your death, being ready to die. A journey in the afterlife. Do you know how obsessed you have to be to write a book like this? With the afterlife and near-death experiences and films like Flatliners? Did you know? Prepared for your death. Are you prepared for the afterlife? When I wrote the book, Beyond the Veil, A Journey into the Afterlife, I wanted to take it without any particular religious perspective, but we talk about all of them to have an understanding about the afterlife. You're going to want to get this book. Additionally, The Life Beyond Death, by William Watker Atkinson. Book. Great book. Hold on. I got a frog in my throat. You better grab your guns because I'm ready. Coca-Cola. That cleared it. The book is $9.99 online. The Kindle version is $2.99. So you can get that today. If you want to go to the LA Book Fair, I forgot to tell you about that. Sorry. And how crazy my life is. So the LA Book Fair that I'm going to at the Mocha, it's the Printed Matter LA Art Book Fair of 2023. It's Friday, August the 11th from 1 to 7. Oh, I'm sorry. I skipped the day, the most important day. Oh, XM, you're not a good promoter. Sorry. Opening night. I went right by that. Sorry. Opening night, Thursday, August 10th, 6 to 9 p.m. That's $25. So that's going to be the snooty people. I'm just kidding, snooty people. The Mocha books, authors, we need your help. Now, opening night, Thursday, August 10th, 6 to 9, $25. I say snooty because it's the opening night gala, a little wine, a little maybe photos, and they're charging $25. Okay. For you penny pinchers, Friday, August the 11th, from 1 to 7 all day. I know some of you got to work, but Friday from 1 to 7th, 1 to 7, excuse me, and that's $5. So, very reasonable. And then Saturday, when I'll be there, August the 12th from 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. I'll be towards the later end. And that's at 5 p.m. I will have my book. Come by, buy a book. I'll sign it. Or I'm giving away some audio. I might give away a book or two. If I don't sell any, maybe I'll give them all away. No, I'm kidding. We know I'll sell. See, here's the thing you got to understand about me. I've already decided I'm selling everything I'm going with. So regardless of what you think, everything will sell. I can be a persuasive salesperson when I need to be. So anyway, I'm going to also have some binaural beats beautifully perfected. Binaural beats, you're not going to get a better quality. And it's WAV files. So you can hear it on CD. You can transfer it to MP3 and whatever you want, or you can just put it on your phone. I recommend the WAV file so you get the full effect, because these crappy MP3s that have wrecked everybody's perception of sound, when you hear an MP3 gloriously produced, it is a huge difference, folks. So anyway, I digress. Saturday, August the 12th from 11 to 7. If you want to meet me, I recommend you get there around 1-ish. But I'll be there for a while, I think. Hey, I might be there all night. It's a party. And that's $5. So Saturday the 12th, 11 to 7, $5. Then Sunday, it's free. So if you really don't have any money, it's Sunday, it's free. That's August 13th. I don't think I'll be there. Maybe I'll stop by. That's 11 to 6. But I will be at the booth, the K-Chung station booth, for a while on Saturday. And it's free. It says Sunday is free, August 13th from 11 to 6. It says free with registration. So you might want to go online and get a free registration. By the way, this is going to be a book fair and art, obviously. I'm going to have some music. I might bring some art as well. But it's really about my books this time around. I want to see if I can't. I just want to get my name out there as an author of my books. But that, I just, little plug for Mocha. It's a beautiful museum. Some of the exhibits may not be your thing. One of the ones that I saw recently, or it was actually a while ago now, months ago, I think I talked about it, was not my cup of tea. All right. So, you know, art is subjective, but it is a fantastic, beautiful museum. So you got to check it out if you're ever in the Koreatown, downtown LA area. And I'm there the first Thursday of every month DJing. So you can always check me out. All right, folks, I have got to play this clip because I started cracking up when I heard it. And strangely enough, because I wanted to talk about the book and it all came full circle thinking about Kevin Shea from Assault of the Sasquatch, the movie that I was in back in Connecticut that I filmed with him, and finding out to my shock that he's dead and didn't even know, obviously, that when I was looking for that clip, because I found it on Tubi TV, I found another movie that I just loved when I in the 80s. I wasn't a kid, but I was teenage-ish. Absolutely loved the movie. And it just happened to like start playing in the background. And I said, oh my God. Who is this actor? Who is that voice? And I think I got to tell you, I got to set it up because you won't put two and two together. Joe Roop from The Fringe FM has a doppelganger. Now I want to give you who I think is either his daddy, his brother, or his twin, or Joe Roop from The Fringe FM. Lighting the Void, Joe Roop. You know him. You know Joe, the owner of The Fringe FM, the muscle at The Fringe FM. Founder and owner. He's going to be coming out with a book soon. We've got to talk about that. But Joe has a doppelganger. And I want you to hear this guy's voice. I mean, you tell me. Oh, hold on. Got to put the volume up. That would help. Again, Mr. Joe Roop's doppelganger.
Friends, let me introduce myself. That's me there on the corner. And I have a story to tell. Yeah, I know. Who hadn't got a story? Well, nobody's got a story like this one. Nobody. It all started here in Chinatown. I was hitting the shops trying to move a little merchandise, maybe find a present for my kid. I tried this one place.
Anyone know the movie? Is that Joe or what?
Wait a minute. What's down here?
This is it.
This is your grandfather's store?
Yeah. Come on.
No wonder you gotta drag people in off the street.
I'm telling you, when I heard that in the background, I said, what in the hell? I thought the Fringe FM popped up on my TV. And I knew it couldn't be. Well, I had my Roku on, so I said, oh, maybe. I don't know. Is the Fringe FM on Roku now? Probably. I know 562 Live is through an app. So I'm sure. Oh, he is. I know he is. But that's not what it was. I turned to the screen. One of my favorite childhood films. Does anyone know the film? Let's hear a little more, Joe. You know this film.
Well, go ahead, mister. Look around. See if there's something you like.
He grunts like him.
Are these things real?
I told you, everything's real.
Well, friends, you do have a lot of interesting artifacts here, but there's one thing you don't have.
And what's that?
Well, let me show you. I got it right here. I'm an inventor. I made this. The bathroom buddy.
Is that not Roop? Without all the effects and the stuff on his voice? If you heard him in person, just on the phone, I'm telling
you. You got yourself your toothbrush. You got yourself a toothpick. You got toenail clippers. You got...
That's Roop, man.
You got yourself a dental mirror.
This is Roop, I tell you.
Now, let's just say for the sake of argument that you're...
He's got that deepness to his voice.
...plane or a train. You forgot to brush your teeth. You got yourself a bad case of dragon breath.
That sounds like, come on, wait a second, that sounds like Joe.
And what do? No problem, friend. Toothbrush out, and you push this button.
Ew, sorry.
That's absolutely no problem. Cleans up easily. Now, what I'd like to do, sir, I'd like to give you my card. Rand Pelzer. Fantastic ideas for a fantastic world. I make the ill.
All right, come on. Is that not Roop? That's not Roop Boy? That's Joe Roop Boy. No? No? Oh, all right. I think it sounds like him. Come here, Roop Boy, can you get it up? Come here, Roop Boy, you should big enough. Take it, yeah, baby, yeah. Take it, yeah. Have got one of the most frustrating clips you're ever going to hear. Our good friend Dr. John Campbell on YouTube has released almost like over the weekend. He must have released maybe a video every day or every other day. I don't know. I was catching up on his videos, and he has one that is absolutely astounding. Now, he is from the UK or Australia, I forget, but he's always playing like parliamentary hearings in Australia and the UK and Parliament. And so not focused as much on the United States, but sometimes he does. Sometimes he'll have obviously Pfizer documents and Moderna and the J&J spike vax. So he goes through all of the documents very thoroughly, reads them, dissects them and tells us, you know, kind of the numbers we have to worry about. We have it's astounding, a clip of Pfizer's apparent, I believe it was Pfizer's executives, sent to this hearing to explain some simple questions, of course, that they had about the COVID-19 vaccine. And I entitled it, and I think there's nothing more to say, I'm just going to play it. I entitled the clip, Pfizer's Broken Record. Listen to this. Now look. I would love to have Dr. John Campbell on the show. I actually emailed him. The guy's probably getting inundated. He's got a very popular YouTube channel. Who knows? But I would love to have him on. The one thing I would say to him, if I could talk to him personally, I think he's doing a great job. He doesn't need my advice. But it is so obvious at this point when they're playing these things, it's a liability issue, right? They're using this. It was probably a lawyer crafted statement, and they just repeat it over and over. And I know he's frustrated with it, and you're going to be frustrated too, but I know exactly what's going on here. They're so scared about liability and all of the bad information that's coming out. There's a reason they keep using these mantras. Oh, and the other dodge that they use over there apparently is, can I get back on notice? I believe that's what they keep saying. And they use this phrase often to say, well, can I don't have the numbers and facts in front of me. Can I get back to you? And they never do, right? We've seen this time and time again. So that basically is a big kiss off. But you got to hear this. It is astounding what they will get away with when we know what we know. And look, I have made it available. It is on Amazon for $2.99, I believe. Pfizer's Efficacy Illusion. If you go searching through my blogs, it's like a few back, there's a link to get it for free from an angel donor who said, just put the book out there. What I'm getting at is, even if you don't have the money to get the information, I'm not talking about Dr. John Campbell, I attached it to my email, but to anyone out there who has not read this book, you might already know the information. The reason I think you need the book, it is an easy way to explain. It's very easy to read and palatable. But it's easy to read it and then explain it to someone who still has false illusions about the efficacy of the Pfizer vaccine. And it's a quick read. It's not like something that you have to give them and they see this big, huge, thick book and they go, yeah, I'll get to it someday, put it on the shelf and never read it. And I wrote it almost like an intriguing story. Like I set the stage of COVID and, you know, what was happening at the time. So it reads almost like a story. So it gets people interested. It's super easy. And it's not a complicated topic, relative risk reduction versus absolute risk reduction. It's not complicated, but you have to hear it a few times to get your mind around it. At least I did. And I'm not the smartest guy in the world, but I'm not the dullest tool in the shed either. So a lot of people just need to understand what relative risk reduction is and absolute risk reduction. Once they have those facts, and the book, I think, lays it out very easily for anyone to understand. High school kids, probably grade school kids could read it and get the point that it's in the biomedical field of books, and that's where it's been staying in the top 50 or 100 for ever since it's been released. But that makes it sound complicated and tricky. It is not. I don't use a lot of jargon. The most complicated jargon is probably mRNA, spike proteins, and you know all the rest. COVID-19. I can't think of any really complicated terms, or it's really absolute risk reduction and relative risk reduction. That's what you have to wrap your head around. A lot of you know about it. Most people don't. And if you did, you would not have believed 95% effective. Right? You would know it was only 0.84% effective when you use absolute risk reduction, which all statistics, not just vaccines, but all statistics that you get, you have to look at the absolute numbers. You need to know how many cases there were in the study. You have to know it, right? If you don't know that, you can't trust it. And we learn this from whom? It's the quote at the top of the book, Bishop Fulton Sheen. Always, always know how many people were involved or how many numbers there were before you believe a statistic. You have to. I paraphrase, but you get the point. That is the quote for the most part. Oh, is there a quote? And that's funny. There's a great quote. I'm glad we're here on quotes. Just saying. I had a poem that I wanted to put in the book. Maybe I'll put it on my blog. And I just didn't put it in there. I forget why. I think it was the page count, and it looked awkward. It's just when I was formatting the book, I'm like, I'm just going to leave it out. The poem just looked kind of like it stuck out there. But I'm going to post it on my page. And it's a really cool poem that I think you'll enjoy. But The Life Beyond Death by William Walker Atkinson says, and this is the quote, "That which we call death is but the other side of life." That quote right there should get you intrigued to learn about the life after death, near-death experiences. And, I should say this. Let's go to my book. I like having a hard copy. I know a lot of us read ebooks. I'm really getting back to physical books. Carlton, my friend, your friend, Carlton, mentioned, hey, do you know this book company? They're very beautiful books. They're kind of spendy. Some are very expensive, but they're just beautiful. And I'm like, which publisher? And he goes, Taschen. I was like, oh my God, yes. They're beautiful books. I said, I have a film noir Taschen book. I hope I'm saying it right. It's T-A-S-C-H-E-N. I think I'm saying it right. We both, T-A-S-C-H, alexhexum.com. But if you go there right now, not that I want you to buy their books, I want you to buy my books at alexhexum.com. These books are expensive. I'm looking at one book that I'd love. It's $600. Here's one for Arnold Schwarzenegger that's $1,500. So these are spendy books. You can get a copy of a soft cover from Alex Hexum for $9.99 at the LA Book Fair too. I might even be giving a better discount. But look, here's one I'd buy. This is a beautiful one. The Art of Pinup. Beautiful. You know how I feel about pinup art. It's $80. Now, it's a beautiful book. I'm sure it'll look great on a coffee tower. I'm just flipping through it. It looks amazing. I have only one Tashin book. I might have two. I have two. And they're both on film noir, actually. But here's another pinup one. That's beautiful as well. The point is, they're $80. You know, so Gil Elvgren, Alberto Vargas, and George Petty. These are all classic 1950s type pinups. There's, oh, these are beautiful. I want the book. Add to cart. I'm not going to buy it. But I like, you ever do that? I'll do that sometimes. I'm like, I'm just going to start adding things to the cart, knowing I'm not going to buy. Do you ever do that? It almost gives you a false sense of shopping. Like knowing full well, I'm probably not going to buy it. Wasting their time, their bandwidth, and my time. But it's such a beautiful book. Like, yeah, someday I may. And you know, it's happened, I'm sure, where you put a bunch of crap in your cart and you leave. It's happened on Amazon. And it keeps sitting in your cart, just sits there. And you just haven't deleted it for some reason, right? Have you done this? You get it. And then every time you like add something new, you just, well, you can buy that separately. So you buy that. You just kind of have this list. And there's just one thing that's just kind of peeking at you all the time. You ever have that? Like, yeah, I like it. I'm on the fence. Amazon's so good at this. I'm telling you, that son of a bitch will not leave forever. It will be there forever. They won't make you log in. The cookies will stay there for the rest of your life. Like COVID-19 will be in you. It'll be like a nanovirus. Did anyone see the latest, the last James Bond film? Not the best out of the series. Let's be honest. A lot of people didn't see it. Time to Die. No Time to Die, rather. I loved it, but, you know, it did get some criticism, rightfully so, rightfully so. It was a little depressing to end the series. But anyway, the whole thing, like, it's not like a wink, nod, wink towards COVID, but it's a nanovirus that's specifically engineered to kill only certain people. And so it's a little dark, but, oh, I'm telling you this, but the nanobot killing bot particle thingies, oh my God, I got to stop looking at this website. I just saw a book I absolutely want. I think this is the one Carlton and I were talking about. Manly Palmer Hall, Secret Teachings of All Ages. It's $500. It's first printing, 5,000 numbered copies, the famous first edition. This thing is freaking gorgeous. Look, if anyone wants to make me happy, just buy me this one book. It's $500. I understand. It's just, oh my God. It is gorgeous. And when you look at it, you look at the, oh my God, the artwork, and it's got mushrooms. You've got to be kidding me. It's got art of like a man. It looks like a skeleton or something standing in a field of mushrooms. I have to have this book. Oh my God, the art in this thing. Oh, I read it. I'll put that in my cart and never buy it. It's in stock. It is beautiful. And when I tell you this, anyone who's interested in this, you got to see it. This edition painstakingly recreated in its original form brings the arcane writings of Manly P. Hall. Oh, wait, I think the slider moved. The greatest knowledge of all time should be available not in one shilling editions in small type and shabby binding, but in a book that would be a monument. Yes, this is a monument to his work. It is gorgeous. Is this the one I bought for Carlton? I bought one for Carlton on here for his birthday. Not witchcraft. It was one of these. Magic, I think it was. So there's the Library of Astrology, Tarot, Plant Magic, and then witchcraft. I'm like doing a total ad for this book company. Anyway, we'll leave here now because I'm just like totally in love with this copy of this book. If you see it, look. Excuse me. Where's my drink? I want someday to have a book. I don't think I've written anything this monumental, you know, that requires this type of artistry. I mean, the book binding, the cover, it's in a box with extra stuff, the photography, everything. It's a work of art. So it's $500. I understand. It is gorgeous. That's the problem. If I had this book, it would be mounted somewhere or I'd never take it out. You know what I mean? I'd never take it out because I'd be so scared. Someone would want to look at it. I'd be like, put these gloves on, please. It is gorgeous. It is. So just do yourself a favor when you get a chance. Manly Palmer Hall, Secret Teaching of All Ages, the famous first edition. It's $500, but I'm telling you, you're like, Alex, $500? There's books on here that are $15, even more. This is one of the most beautiful books I've ever seen. So there's a print of Arnold Schwarzenegger skiing that's $15,000. Are they crazy? Oh, my God. I was just talking about James Bond. The James Bond Archives, art number 501 of 1,000, No Time to Die. $2,000 for a print, museum quality print on archival paper, 50 by 60, centimeters. So it's 19 by 23 inches. Wait, hardcover? Oh, it's a book? So it's art and a book. Oh, it's beautiful. And it's got all the, this is actually very nice, but that's not $2,000. I love Bond. I love all the Bond stuff. I'm not paying $2,000. I'd rather spend $500 on this book from Manly P. Hall. Oh my God. It is just beautiful. Oh, I put two in my cart. That's why my cart's $2,000 with all this. So there's another book that I put in there that was $1,500 I'm not going to get either. But if you look at that book, this is like one big advertisement for them. If you look at the book, you're going to be amazed. Listen to this. I told you we were going to play Pfizer's broken record. We don't have much time. We got time for this though. It's a short clip. Listen to this.
Today's talk. It's Saturday, the 5th of August now. I want to play you a clip today from...
He's so soothing, isn't he? Unlike me.
...Australian Senator. This is the Senate Education and Employment Legislation Committee. And Pfizer Australia are...
Now, he's normally very calm like this. He even gets frustrated. It's very cute.
Questions. Now, I really hesitate to inflict psychological pain on you, but...
He almost sounds like me at one point.
Necessary to watch this. It only lasts for about 7 or 8 minutes. Please don't throw anything at your equipment. It's not the fault of your computer screen that these guys seemingly just don't want to answer any questions. It'll drive you mad, this clip, but do watch it because, you know, I'm just so disappointed in my regulatory authorities and the way that we were given information, disinformation, some might say, in the early stages of the pandemic about vaccination. And it's just absolutely infuriating. And, you know, I had three of these things and, you know, I just feel totally deceived and let down. And enough for me. Over to Senator Cavagan. Thank you.
Pfizer hopes that its appearance at this public hearing assists the Senate committee.
Thank you. I'm Senator Canavan.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, gentlemen, for appearing today and your evidence. Did Pfizer test whether your COVID-19 vaccine could stop or reduce the transmission of the virus before its approval and rollout in late 2020?
That's a no.
Senator, to bring this vaccine to patients, we were required to show that the vaccine was safe and effective in preventing illness, in preventing...
And it's neither, by the way.
...and in preventing hospitalizations. The primary purpose of vaccination was and remains to protect the person who received the vaccine.
I'll just repeat the question. I appreciate that, but there hasn't been an answer to it. And perhaps I might just add into the record that on the 3rd of December 2020, your CEO, Mr. Albert Bourla, told NBC News, and I quote, when he was asked whether vaccinated people could carry and spread the virus, he responded to NBC News that, and I quote, I think this is something that needs to be examined. We are not certain about that right now. So was Mr. Bourla correct that as of December the 3rd, 2020, Pfizer did not know whether the vaccine could stop or reduce the spread of the virus?
Senator, as with all vaccines seeking regulatory authorisation, the requirement is to demonstrate in robust clinical programs...
Oh, that's a deviation. Wow, that was very different from what he said the first time. Let's see what he says. The third time.
In pre- preventing severe disease and hospitalisation.
I might just give you one more. Sorry to interrupt, but I've got very limited time. I've got 5 minutes. So is it yes or no? Did you test whether the transmission would be reduced or stopped before the approval of the vaccine?
Senator, we designed our clinical programs in agreement with regulatory agencies, the purpose of which was to demonstrate the vaccine was safe and effective in preventing infections.
Okay.
You see, why isn't he saying it's not safe and it's not effective? That's what I would have said.
On the 14th of January 2021, so just a month, 6 weeks after Mr. Birla's statement to NBC News, 6 weeks later, the official Pfizer Twitter account tweeted that, and I quote, "The ability to vaccinate at speed to gain herd immunity and stop transmission is our
highest." I wonder what he's going to say this time.
Evidential basis. What evidence did Pfizer have to make that public statement to imply that vaccination could stop transmission?
Senator, I'm not familiar with the context or the details of those comments, but let me just say that the primary purpose of vaccination...
Oh, I thought he was going to change. Now right back into the script.
Regulatory approvals in Australia and around the world were to prevent infection.
Is he an idiot?
And prevent hospitalisation. That is what our clinical trial program sought to demonstrate. That was what was demonstrated, and that was the evidence that was evaluated by regulatory agencies, by health authorities, and that was the evidence, the strong, robust clinical evidence that led to the approvals.
Wait a second. What strong, robust evidence? It's less than 1% effective, dickweed.
The question being on what evidence did Pfizer have for their statement on Twitter on the January the 14th, 2021?
Senator, I'd be happy to take that question on notice and come back to the committee with what information we're able to provide.
So by June in 2021, in June, on the 8th of June, the Pfizer CEO, Mr. Albert Birla, he tweeted, Albert Birla,
evil man.
To help stop transmission. Was there any evidence, what evidence did Mr. Birla have by that stage, by June the 8th, 2021, that vaccination could stop transmission?
Senator, it has been very clearly demonstrated that the robust...
Safe and effective, shut your pie hole, you disgusting piece of trash! Shut up, I can't dig in the mud. So, irregardless of what Penis Breath there was saying, I will give you a free copy of my book if you doubt any of this. It is currently, let's take a look, in the top 50. I don't even know. What's the number? Let me look. Before I shoot my mouth off, I like to give you accurate information. Okay. Pfizer's Efficacy Illusion, the 0.84% truth, is number 59 in the medical biotechnology, 752 in biotechnology books alone, and number 885 in 45-minute health, fitness, and dieting short reads. Number 59 in the medical biotechnology field. There's a reason for that. It's all true. You need to get that book. If you can't afford it, I'll give it to you for free. You can download it if you go to my blog. Now, I promised people something free on my Locals account and my Patreon account if you subscribe. And I'm giving it to you also. Anyone who's listening, I'll put the link in the show notes. You can now, for I think another 3 days, maybe four, you can get Lucidity Unleashed, a beginner's guide to mastering lucid dreams. If you ever wanted a lucid dream, I'm just telling you, you can. I have. And I put the techniques that I've used and you can use, and they're very simple. And everyone says it's a great guide. It's simple and easy to use. And you can download it for free if you have Amazon Kindle Unlimited right now. And it's doing very well, apparently. People like, I think dreams are just like, I know dream interpretation or dream dictionaries are popular. I have a few. And I have two books on lucid dreaming. Stephen LaBerge's amazing book and another. And just several other books on dreams, like it's just dream art and, you know, Native American stuff kind of involving dreams. The point is, I think dreams are kind of a fun topic that everyone can get into. And if you ever wanted to control your dreams, you can. And I suggest you get the book. You can get it for free if you go to Amazon right now. Just search my name or Lucidity Unleashed, a beginner's guide to mastering lucid dreams. Additionally, it's not free, but if you go to alexxm.com and want to pay the $2.99, you can actually get the book from my website, which I really appreciate, and you get a dream journal that's included free. You don't get that with the Amazon one because you can't really include images. So my book has the dream journal included in the book, and it's the exact same book you'd get on Amazon. So you get the Kindle version and the EPUB version, exactly like you'd get on Amazon. But this one comes with the additional dream journal. You can print it right at your printer at home. It looks beautiful, customizable. You put your name and everything on there. And you need a dream journal to record your dreams if you really want to take this subject seriously. It really helps you remember your dreams. So you don't need mine, but it's kind of cool if you want to have your own downloadable dream journal. You can reuse it and reprint it. And for $2.99, you get the book and the dream journal. Only at alexexum.com, not on Amazon. Additionally, before I go, I want to remind you, if you're in the L.A., Long Beach, Orange County area, I'll be at the MoCA L.A. County Book Fair, Art Book Fair. You'll find all that information online. I'll link to it on my website, I'm sure, at one point. I'll put a blog post, actually. And you can buy one of my new books that I'm holding right here in my hot little hands, Beyond the Veil, A Journey into the Afterlife by yours truly. And I also have William Walker Atkinson's, it's a mouthful, epic work. I mean, this is the work that I read when I was really, when I started studying this. But even before, well, since 2014 is when I really got totally into this. But I found this book even before then. And that is The Life Beyond Death, written in 1919. One of the best books you'll ever read on the afterlife, other than the Bible or the Quran or the Bhagavad Gita. A bunch of people are going to start quoting religious texts. I get it. These books are not meant to use religious dogma or alienate anyone who doesn't believe in any particular organized religion. It talks about the similarities to the theories of the afterlife and just about all of them. And what a lot of people don't realize is when you go back to ancient cultures, all the way back to the Egyptians, all the way back to the ancient Phoenicians, everybody had not the same, but there were a lot of similarities to what they thought and what they did to prepare for the afterlife, not just like in Egypt and the mummification and all that and being buried with objects, which is common in many cultures. But there are similarities and through lines through many civilizations that are not connected in any type of way. They're broken up by barriers. This is before ships. This is before the printed word, the Bible, the Gutenberg press, and when religion could really spread through written text. I'm sorry, I don't have any more code. It is empty, and I'm just going to have to get through the last 2 minutes here. So, my voice is raspy. It's really hot in here. I had to turn the AC on in the background when I played that astounding clip. Now, you know, you would think, I don't want to go out on a bad note, but you would think when you hear these hearings that Dr. John Campbell plays, and he's got to be sick of it at this point, like it's like a broken record, yes, but do you think they'd send people who are better, like, who could dodge these questions or say something that won't get them in trouble, but just at least seem like they're trying instead of repeating the same damn thing where it's just so obvious they're stonewalling? Like an actor. Like get an actor and just tell them, look, this is what we want. You can say what you can't say, but we want you to be charming and like make it seem like you're giving them information, but don't really give them any information. Can you do that? Like I could do that. They could have hired me. Look, I would not have to be – they have to stop using CEOs from Pfizer to answer these questions or some idiot. They need the marketing guy who knows how to spin something, who won't be afraid to answer some questions. We might get some truth then because then he'll think he can spin it his own way. But with the proper questioning, we can get the bottom of just about anything. Anyway. By the way, that book is available on Amazon as well. You can get that Pfizer's Efficacy Illusion or just go to my website. Any way you like it, honey. Any way you like it. Just get the damn book. Get the book. If I die. And if you know anyone who is having a issue with a terminal illness and they're contemplating their own demise, you might want to point them in the direction of my book, $2.99, The Secrets of the Afterlife. And this is from all of my research from the beginning of time. All right, friends. Thanks for being here. Love you. Ciao. You know I'm safe with you when she stands under my colors. Oh, and life ain't always what you think it ought to be. No, ain't even gray, but she buries her baby. The sharp knife of a short life. Well,
short life.